Well, tonight we're going to enter a special portion. Well, it's always a special portion, but I'd say a special portion of these Gentile brides that we've been speaking of. Only four of the Old Testament Gentile brides are mentioned in Matthew chapter 1. And there's actually only four women mentioned in Matthew chapter 1. And for those that are thinking, what's he talking about in Matthew chapter 1? That's the lineage of Jesus. And we find there all of these different names that how our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came and was and became man and dwelt among us. And in that precious chapter 1, we see these four women. In verse 3 of chapter 1, we see the one we're going to examine tonight. Her name is Tamar. And then in verse 5, you see another one. Her name is Rahab. And then you see in verse 5 as well, you see Ruth. And then it doesn't mention her name, but in verse 6, we see that it is the wife of Uriah, so we know that's Bathsheba. So there we have these four Old Testament precious women that have been mentioned. And in such glory of the lineage of Jesus. But that first one that I mentioned, her name is Tamar, we find her in Genesis chapter 38. Now this is very amazing where we find this precious woman, because in chapter 37 of Genesis, we're in the midst of the story about Joseph. And we're in the midst of where Joseph was just sold into slavery by his brothers. Remember, he was going to be killed, but he had a brother named Judah. And his brother Judah, you'd think, well, he was a good guy just trying to spare his life. No, Judah wasn't a good guy. He was trying to get even more out of this deal. We can get money for him. Let's not kill him. Let's just get some money. And so his life was spared. And Judah goes on, if you can imagine, and he still continues to make worse and worse decisions. But in the midst of this amazing story of Joseph, you know, because Joseph's life goes on for many chapters. It's wonderful about his life. But in the midst of this story of this wonderful type of Jesus Christ that is seen in the life of Joseph, this jewel Gentile bride stops everything. It's like that story just stops. And here comes this chapter out of nowhere. But it was a chapter on the heart of God since ages past. I've got to talk about my bride. And it's so beautiful how God does that. He'll stop everything and he'll bring a very shining portion of scripture that'll just pop out. And we better pay attention, especially when those types of things happen. But see, after Judah, again, and his brothers sell Joseph, Judah goes on and continues to make worse and worse decisions. He goes to the land of the Canaanites. But you see, this wasn't about Judah in his life. This was all about a Gentile woman that the Lord had circled out before he ever set a star in heaven. Does that sound like you? Amen? This is how special, how exact, how precise our Lord is with us. And this Gentile woman would take such grace, that would give her such courage, that she would lay hold to that right that was given to her of the Lord, and she would become the very lineage of Jesus Christ. So let's let the Word of God introduce this precious sister to us and give us such encouragement again that they wrote these things for us. Genesis chapter 38. And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned to a certain Adullamite whose name was Harah. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shuha. And he took her, and he went in unto her, and she conceived and bare a son, and called his name Ur. And she once again conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bare a son, and called his name Shelah. And he was at Chibiz when she bare him. And Judah took a wife for Ur, firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. And Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife, marry her, raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed would not be his. And it came to pass, when he went in unto his brother's wife, that he spilled it on the ground, lest he should give seed to his brother. And that thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him. Then said Judah to Tamar, daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house, till Shelah, my son, be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also, as his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. And in the process of time that the daughter of Shuah, Judah's wife, died, and Judah was comforted, and went up unto the sheep shearers to Timnath, he and his friend Hurah the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, the father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear his sheep. And she put her widow's garments off from her, covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the way of Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, and thought her to be a harlot, because she covered her face. And he turned unto her by the way, and said, go to, I pray thee, let me come unto thee. For he knew not that this was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what wilt thou give me, that thou mayest come in unto me? And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, wilt thou give me a pledge till you send it? And he said, what pledge shall I give thee? And he said, thy signet, and thy bracelets, and thy staff that is in thine hand. And he gave it her, and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. And she arose and went her way, and laid by her veil from her, and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of the friend, the Adullamite, to receive the pledge from the woman's hand. But he found her not. Then he asked the men of that place, where is the harlot that was openly by the wayside? And they said, there was no harlot in this place. Never was. And he returned to Judah and said, I can't find her. And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, let her take it to her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I sent the kid, and thou hast not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth, let her be burnt. When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man who these are, am I with child? And she said, discern, I pray thee, whose are these, the signet, the bracelets, and the staff? And Judah acknowledged them and said, she hath been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not Shelah, my son, and he knew her again no more. And it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were born in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that one put out his hand. The midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out. And she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore, his name was called Phares, and afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zarah. Praise be to God. Isn't the word of God wonderful? I get excited reading about these things. You think, oh my, what is going on here? Well, I'll tell you what was going on here. This was called the Levirate Law. The Levirate Law. This was a law that said when a woman would wed into a family, if her husband would die, then she would be married to one of his brothers. And they would be married and have offspring in order to continue the lineage inheritance of that deceased brother. But we see that didn't happen, did it? We see that brother that she was married to the first time, he wasn't about to let that inheritance pass to the widow, and he just uses her and doesn't give her seed. But see, God's not going to allow that to happen, and God takes his life. Amen. Once again, I want you to see this. This wasn't about anybody else but a Gentile bride that was going to have her full inheritance. And I love that. I love this passion that God gives us in this word. So then Judah, her father-in-law, as we see here, he lies to her and tells her the youngest son will fulfill the obligation. But we see that he postpones and delays. And he just expects her to kind of forget about it. and thinks, well, if you're part of the family, that should just be good enough. You know, just settle in and don't, you know, let's not cause a stir about this. But there was no way that that was going to happen with this woman. This woman saw what was hers. This woman knew that her right was a full inheritance for her and her seed, and nothing was going to stop her from getting it. I believe that's a testimony of what we hear about the Apostle Paul when he said, if by any means I might attain. Now we understand that, brothers and sisters, and if that by any means really isn't of ourselves, is it? It's what the Lord is going to before ordain for our lives, that these good works that you should walk therein. You believe that this was a before ordained good work, that this woman would walk therein to gain that full inheritance, despite what everybody else thought was so awful, what maybe she was doing? Amen. You better check your thoughts right in the trash can and understand His ways are not your ways, and His thoughts are not your thoughts. And there's going to be but one way, and it's going to be the way you didn't think, oftentimes the way you didn't want. But if you're going to take what He has, let me tell you something, you'll be thankful in the end. Amen? Oh yes, praise be to God. Now, we see this, and we see it so clearly here, that nothing was going to stop her. She knew the law. Think about this woman. She knew what was hers, didn't she? She knew the word. And she knew it was hers. How that should testify to our lives. We need to know. And we need to know what is ours. And we need to go get it. And don't let anything get between us and what God has given us in His word. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are we not blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ? Then what isn't mine? Amen. Praise God, it's all mine. Hallelujah, it's all yours. He has given us all this. We were born, as we say in Galatians 4:1, little lords of all, but you're born in a sense, you're born a king. You're born to rule and reign. You weren't born to wave a palm. You're born by the grace of God. He sees that life that He, again, imputed to you would be the life that would rule and reign jointly together with Him. Any good parent would want the best for their child. How much more so your Heavenly Father? He wants everything by the grace of God to be manifest in that fullness of God in you. Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, this is the bridal heart. It does prove it. It makes it very clear that the actions of this woman were, if by any means, this is going to happen. She doesn't care how it looks. Ask Rebecca getting the birthright for her son Jacob. I cannot believe how many writings you'll read about self-righteous cerebrals that will tell you how wrong these women were. Just like the three friends of Job. This is what you do wrong, as they went in there and they got the better part. Just like Martha being critical to Mary. Why don't you get up and help us? Why don't you see our part? And as Jesus said, let her alone. Amen. That's what's so wonderful. You go after that truth, praise God. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You go after it. God will show forth and make known to whom He has loved, praise God. Now, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I love that kind of a heart. This is my promise, and I'm going to get it. I was thinking about how in our lives, brothers and sisters, some people have more romantic stories about how they came to bridal truth than others do. You think about, we already said that, about Rebecca. There she was at that well. That was a very romantic story, was it not? It was a very sweet way that she was brought and courted and all. It wasn't necessarily that way for Tamar, was it? Matter of fact, it's not looking good. But you know one thing I've learned with the Lord? It doesn't matter how you get there. What matters is that you get there. And then once you get there, what really matters is that you stay there. Now think about that. Oftentimes some people, and I've seen this, that have had such romantic ways that they've went into the bridal truth. They're ones that haven't stayed. Whereas those that really had a wreck getting there, praise be to God, you know what? It's dear to them. They realize, oh my goodness, this had to be God that brought this. There's something that's cherished about it. There's something magnificent about that grace. And I thank the Lord for that. And I thank the Lord. I don't necessarily even have to know how I was brought to Him. I thank God how you were brought to Him. And I share that too when I'm in the right heart. Are we not one in Him? Is not that bridal truth ours? Praise God, and how He brings us here. Are not these stories, in a sense, and they're not stories. We know this is the living and alive Word of God. Is this the Word that lives in us? Amen. Do we not sense this same passion and the same, in a way, the blotches and the it didn't have to be, but it had to be life that Tamar had? I believe it. I live it every day. Every day. Get it? That's when you're looking at mercy. That's when you're looking at mercy. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm beginning to see something, and I'm thankful for it. Now, think about the disappointment that, in a sense, could hit this poor woman, and I'm sure did. Here she was in this, if you will, with the Canaanites. And I want you to think about this as well, too, as I just kind of touch on this for a minute. Because this should mean something to everybody. See, people that don't know the Word of God, they're so ignorant and it's so stupid and just the filth that proceeds out of mouths. But I know that that's not flesh and blood. But you'll hear people say how the Word of God does not honor women and it's sexist and these types of things. Let me tell you something. The ones that are the most magnified in this are these Gentile brides. I mean, the magnificence of the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for that wonderful bride, that wife, the fair one. It's over and over in the Word of God. Think about the collection of the Word of God and all of the stories. It's about relationships, but especially about marriages. Especially about the love for a woman. Especially about that courtship and all of those things. I mean, this is so intimately personal. And then here we go again, we have the Canaanites. So we can talk about sexism in the Word of God and different things like that. That doesn't exist, we know that, because that's magnified there. But then what's very precious here, you see this story in these Gentile brides and all of these ones that were, again, magnified here and God sought out half of these women, actually over half of them that we'll study about, are of black skin. Amen. It's just so beautiful. I mean, this is what the Lord is. He's after us. He's after all of us. We're beautiful to Him. Amen. You see, know the Word of God. That's just the enemy that tries to do that with men and women and races and all of these different things. Know the Word of God. Okay. I think it's beautiful. Matter of fact, I know it is. Hallelujah. All right. Now, you think about the disappointments in this woman's life. Here she was picked out. Here she was brought into the family. You know, she really thinks she's got it going. She thinks, man, this is good. I had one of, you know, Jacob's sons come down here. I've been chosen out. I get to be in that family. This is wonderful. I'm going to have this inheritance and all. Well, you know what? It ain't that easy. Because there's always going to be adversity, isn't there? There's always going to be a fight. There's always going to be disappointments. And there's always going to be detractors. And detractors even in the family of God. Just like Judah. Amen. Just like those ones that she had wed. She thought that they were going to be for her. But you could see that they were actually against her. See, that same generation kind of came. And it didn't stop. She should have talked to Joseph, huh? But see, he was already over there in prison by that time that this was going on. See, these were ones that were about themselves, weren't they? Think of who their daddy was, just one generation. And that's how things slipped so fast. How captivated they were with themselves and how selfish they were and how they would use people, even their brother Joseph or this woman. They didn't care. But don't worry about that, because God cares about you. God cares about you greatly. And again, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And it wasn't just for Joseph. We see it was for Tamar too, because God had circled her out. Now, I'll tell you what, it's wonderful. And this is the way God always does it. Now, let's talk about and really get to know Tamar before we go on even in this story. Her name means a palm tree. So if you look at her name, it means palm tree. Now, let's start to think a little bit tonight about palm trees. Didn't know that we were going to go into there, but you know we're going there. Now, going over to Judges, chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And I will have to say this, and the Lord brought it to my heart as going through this week. Palm trees always been my favorite tree. Even when I was a little kid, because I always loved to go to California, different places. And when I see those palm trees, because we don't have them. And I always thought they were so cool and so beautiful. And they'd just kind of, they bend this way, bend that, just thin. And they go up, sometimes even a couple hundred feet. Those things get really tall. And then they're beautiful and they just kind of hang out, and they're just there. And I always loved them. Now I know why the Lord put a love in my heart for them. Because this is it. Well, in Judges 4, verses 4 and 5, this is a beautiful thing about a palm tree. Deborah, the prophetess, the wife of Lappidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree. Isn't that something? And it says, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So there's something about this palm tree and judgment. There's something about this palm tree and ruling and reigning. We know in the Word of God that there's something about the palm tree and victory. The Romans would bring the palms in at victory time, as we saw that in Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. They waved those palms, they put those palms down. There was victory there. They didn't know what they were talking about, but they were saying their king had come. And they put those down. It also speaks of peace and all of these different things. Again, the palm from the palm tree. You go on over to Psalm 92:12, another wonderful statement about a palm tree. It says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. It kind of getting a little bit more interesting. What is it about this palm tree? Well, going over to the Song of Solomon in chapter 7. Now, we know this story about the Song of Solomon, the Shulamite, this magnificent wonderful encouragement to us of the bride for Jesus. And in Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, this is when, we're at the end of the story here. That, I'll tell you what, she knows that I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. And now he is speaking at kind of the end of this of how beautiful she is to him. And here's how he kind of begins to conclude this in chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. That means she's my ecstasy. This thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breaths to clusters of grapes. I said, I will go up to the palm tree. Isn't that amazing? That he has to go up to the palm tree. Now, I remember, I think, something about that bride. John had to go up to a high mountain in order to see the bride descending out of heaven, having the glory of God. He had to go up to the palm tree. And what does he do there? I will take hold of thy boughs. That means fruit. She's completely abounding in fruit. thereof. Now also thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples. See, it's all about the fruit. But she is this palm tree. Now, this is no coincidence, because again, this is who the bride is to Jesus. This is what he sees in her. And this is, praise be to God, I pray that we see, these are these characteristics that are shown even in the life of Tamar, in the passion of Tamar, but also in how she's described even in her name. These are the characteristics, praise God, of how beautiful the readied wife is to Jesus. The characteristics, the mannerisms, the things that have worked in our lives for him. Now going on about the palm tree, I will tell you this. The walls, the doors, and the floors of the temple and the Holy of Holy, Holy of Holies. If you'll read about those again, you'll read about it in Samuel, you read about it in Kings. They were engraved with palm trees and cherubim all over the place. In Ezekiel chapter 41, and I would encourage you to go there sometime this week, Ezekiel's vision, the whole place is covered with cherubims and palm trees. You'll find them, cherubims and palm trees, cherubims and palm trees, and all over. And then it says that the palm trees are between the cherubims, and the cherubims are between the palm trees. So these palm trees, you know, a lot of times we think about that. My goodness, I didn't realize there was so much mention of those things. You'll see how much mention there is. Because, again, that's this evidence of the beauty of the cherubim. The cherubim have their qualities, amen, but they're even more accentuated in the beauty of this palm tree that's with them. Now, we know in the Word of God, the cherubim represent the company of the bride of Christ. We've seen that in many places in the Word of God. We rejoice of the four living ones that are in Revelation 4. Amen. But let's think of this again. Why the palm trees? Once again, it's because of their testimony. It's because of the character. The same character that we see in this precious woman. The passion, if by any means. It doesn't matter what hits that saint. They're still going on. It doesn't matter what comes that way. I'm going to rule and reign and be glorified together with him, because that's what he has told me that is mine. Amen? That's what the law lays out. That's why she said, this is mine. It doesn't matter what you all tell me. It doesn't matter what's happened in my life. It doesn't matter of all of these things that seem so against me. The word of the law says, this is mine, and I'm not turning back. Amen? See, that is that heart. That's that passion. Again, do you believe the Word of God for your life just like that? Or these things that are just written? Or was it really written for you that that's mine? Praise God. They probably thought she was very obnoxious. Why don't you just go be a widow in the house? Can't you be thankful for what you have? Well, I am thankful for what I have, and that's mine. Well, let's not talk about it. Let's forget about it. I'm not forgetting about it. It's mine. Wonderful, isn't it? See, don't let people be your detractors. Don't tell them quit thinking. Don't let them tell you to quit thinking about it. Let them tell you that this isn't yours. Don't let them tell you, well, you have bad luck. You just killed two of my sons. You know, I don't know what it might be. No, your sons were taken because they were wicked. Because they were trying to keep me from what is mine. You see how God will take people out of your life? Know how he fights for you. And he will. I believe it. I've told folks, I said, let me tell you something. He'll wipe out a city for me. Oh, you think you're that special? No, I know I am that to him. Because I know what his word in me and how precious that is. That's the inheritance of God is what he's put in me. In the saints. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that exciting? And so we walk in that boldness, just like this woman did. They could have said, who are you? You're not even part of this family, really. You were just married in. Amen. Now you're starting to get it, dummy. Huh? But you know what I'm saying. You've confronted this, and you'll continue to confront this. And it doesn't necessarily have to be on the external either. Your mind can do this to you. And you know that. And just don't listen to that foolishness. But these palm trees, they speak of the full overcoming saints, the full overcomers. Let's talk about palm trees tonight. Palm trees thrive in very adverse conditions. They do. They thrive in a desert. I didn't know if you know this as well, too. They also, certain palms, can thrive in freezing, below freezing temperatures. People don't realize that. There's like 100 and some, just a little over 100 species of pines. There's 2,600 plus species of palms. It's amazing. Most plentiful, as they call it, they want to call them trees, but they're really not. We'll talk about that in a minute. But more plentiful than any of the trees. They're more diverse. Isn't that the people of God? Isn't that wonderful? I just love it. And all of the qualities that they have, it's amazing. They can thrive in a desert. They thrive in storms. And I was just down there in those islands that were hit by, what, two or three hurricanes this last year? And just think, it wasn't even a year ago. And I was down in there. I'm telling you, it blew all the houses out. There wasn't a house. There wasn't a shed. They were gone. But I will tell you something. Palm trees all over the place. Amazing. It ripped up the vegetation, everything, with the, even the sands and the some of the beaches you could see were just gone. Not them palm trees. They stand right up there. Mm-hmm. See, they have these beautiful leaves that go out. And you've seen them. And they shade, they cover. Spiritual ones restore one another. Amen, they do. They supply. But then when those harsh conditions come, what'll happen is those leaves won't just have to stick out like that. They go with it. And what they do is they become like feathers. And that wind will blow right through them. It's amazing, too. There's no tree that's built like them. The inner parts of a palm tree are like little threads of wire that are kind of twisted together. So even though you see this one big, if you will say, kind of a, you know, just a big log that goes up, there are actually thousands and thousands of tiny little braided wires, if you will. So what that allows it to do is it can almost bend a complete 50, 60 degrees without ever snapping. So those winds come in and it doesn't destroy them. The cold north wind come in, blow over my garden, amen. Blow them spices. But see, when we're too rigid, you're going to snap. The other thing about them, which is so beautiful too, is their root system. Not only does it go deep, it goes wide. And that's why they have so much surface area and the depth that they have, that it doesn't rip them out like other trees. Other trees are torn and gone because they do have different kinds of pines even on those islands. They were all gone, but not the palm tree, because they know how to weather a storm. A palm tree can actually water and fertilize itself. Isn't that amazing to think that they can water and fertilize themselves? Now, we know it's the Lord that does that. Amen. But I believe that there's an encouragement to us as well, too. As David said, you encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Are we not saints that water? Amen. We know God gives the increase. Praise the Lord. So see, these are, again, all of these wonderful types and shadows and encouragement, metaphors of who we are in this precious encouragement of this bridal company for Jesus Christ. Now, going on with this, see, these trees can take a punch. These trees get hit with stuff. But just like this sweet sister, she got hit with a lot of stuff. She didn't quit. She didn't rebel. She just stood there and said, I'm not going anywhere. This is mine. That's these trees. Praise be to God. They allow themselves to be bent in the wind. They're pliable. I love that as well, too. And see how he uses the trials to help us grow up? A palm tree literally grows by dying. It's different than a regular tree. A tree will grow its branches, and then out from those branches, other branches will grow. Palm tree doesn't work that way. A palm tree grows from one heart. It's a center that's in that tree. Everything comes out of that one place. And when a palm tree has to have a new leaf or wants a new leaf, it pushes out the old leaf. It dies to grow. Don't we die daily? Praise the Lord. Isn't it, aren't it just like we were talking about on Sunday about those feathers on that eagle? Praise God. They're pushed out. They've got to be renewed constantly for that growth and for that health and, you know, for the heights of the things that it can be and do and grow into. This is exactly, again, this same encouragement to us. Praise be to God. So see, we die daily. That outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Again, talking about that palm tree. The uses of a palm tree are almost endless. Food, water, shade, oil. And it was so beautiful. A palm tree, you can get water out of it. Matter of fact, that water is so sterile that during World War II, when they would run out of water, they would use those for the saline to put into the soldiers that were wounded with the medicines they need. It was that sterile, and there was never an infection. They also make wine from a palm tree. Well, they make wine almost out of anything. Oil. So think of that. You got water, you got wine, and you got oil. Who would ever thought that looking at that thing? Who would ever thought that looking at that thing? Amen? This is real. This is why he uses that stuff. To man, it's just foolishness, but to God, it's treasure. This is why he points these things out. Okay, now, here you go. A human could be self-sustained with a palm tree indefinitely. It's true. That's a fact. There's water in it. The coconut has enough meat in the ingredients and the nutrition in that coconut. I'm sure you'd get a little tired of it. But believe it or not, that is a fact. It could sustain you for the rest of your life. There isn't another tree that you could say that about. That's why those ones that would get on those islands, they knew what they were doing. They could get up there and do those things. It was kind of sweet on this trip. Again, how God does stuff. I never thought about that. But we were on that trip, and this was the last trip that we took, but getting prepared for this. There'd been a big wind, and we were down there in Mexico, and the coconuts had fallen on the ground. So they were all running around and getting the coconuts off the property and all, and they had these big machetes. And so Polly was walking by, and she'll talk to everybody. So that man had a machete, and there was a coconut down there. She said, "Would you cut that for me?" He took that big old machete, and bam, 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 and right through. Broke it open, handed it to her, and then we both started drinking that water right out of that coconut. It was pure. It had just a hint of coconut flavor. Best water you'll ever taste. There it was. And then you could see the meat around that thing. And I'll tell you what, you'd have to be working on that a while to get that out of there. But it's there. It is there. You think about that. So, once again, every part of it. Now, the palm tree, as I mentioned, is more really like a grass, if you will, that grows. And as I mentioned as well, too, it grows from one source inside. It grows from a heart, in a sense. Its life is within. It's not out like the branches that grow on regular trees. That's why there's no other tree that can sustain through fire like a palm tree. So not only wind, but even fire. When fires come upon a palm tree, most of the time they don't die. It's because that heart is contained and protected. And even though it's burnt, badly scarred, it'll live. Isn't that something? Yeah. See, you got a chance. I love this. I love it. Praise God. And then, as kind of we get kind of close to concluding this, it's the largest seed of any plant. Some palm tree seeds can be 22 pounds. A seed. Isn't that something? Now, you think about that. The Word of God talks about the microscopic, that mustard seed of faith. We understand that. And we've seen the beauty of the Lord and how He can show us that one of the smallest seeds there are in trees is that great redwood. You almost can't even see it, and yet it grows to be the biggest tree that is on the face of the earth. But here we have in this, it's the largest seed. And I got to thinking, what a special tree. Maybe that faith was full faith. You see? It grew up, praise God, into the fullness of that faith, believing. Praise His name. And then finally, a palm tree bears the best and the most abundant fruit in its last years. Now, wouldn't that be us? Huh? Amen? Isn't that what we were talking about, even on Sunday again? That, you know, He renews my youth like the eagle. And this is that same encouragement that we have. It just gets better. It gets sweeter. It gets greater. And I thank the Lord how this goes on. And brothers and sisters, this is the precious fruit, is this fruit of, if you will, the dates, as it's said about the Song of Solomon, the Shulamite there. He lays hold of the boughs upon that palm tree. All of that fruit upon her life. Amen. And I think we're going to just end it there tonight, because now we're going to get into the details next week, God willing. I'm telling you, this just blew me away here. But I'm not even going to be able to maybe contain it for next week. And I mean that in this story, as we go on, and you'll start to see some of the names and the meanings of the different ones. Her first husband, what his name is, the second one, Judah's name, which means praise, all of those things that add up, how she goes in there, and there's Judah looking at her. He begs her to come into him. You think the Lord's pleading with you to come on in to him? He's pleading you, come on in. I want to be with you. It's all there. It's all there. And I love this precious woman because, you know, she just didn't look right to everybody else. But she knew what she looked like in the Word of God. She knew who she was according to the Word. She knew what was hers. And she wasn't going to let anybody stop her from getting it. Let that be us. Praise be to God. Let's stand, be dismissed.